General Manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, Ed Hervey, joins us. Ed, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm good. Cuts are never easy, Ed, but I'm guessing maybe the first round of cuts are usually a little easier than the last round.
I don't think we ever want to say that they're easy. I think when we're evaluating our football team from the start of camp all the way through to the first preseason game, we take everything into account, every practice, every rep, and then hoping that we see some guys who are having good, great camps translate into the games. Other guys who are having inconsistent camps, you'd hope that when the lights come on, they can go out there and show enough to earn them another opportunity for the following week. And I think what we were able to do throughout this process was to make the determination of who those 10 players were that either didn't fit in to a system or did not raise their level of play when the time came. And we made the decisions based on that.
Ja'Cory Harris would be the one who was here last year. He didn't get a lot of development time last year, obviously because of the situation with no quarterback and coach yet. Do you think that hurt him kind of last season, maybe stunted his development a bit?
I mean, I think Ja'Cory had a lot of ability, and you know, coming to this year, he showed, you know, flashes. But I think when we look at the opportunity that we have in Pat White, you know, he adds versatility to the quarterback position, and it's something that was intriguing to us. I think that in Ja'Cory's case, I think he definitely has the ability to play in this league if he develops, if someone takes the time with him. But our shift in our offensive philosophy played into that as well.
Talk about that, the shift in the offensive philosophy. Was there something that he couldn't do that fit with the new philosophy?
Well, I think, again, our intrigue with Pat White's ability to run and to extend plays, again, we're not certain where he would fit into the offense, but there's something there that we don't have with everyone else that we're interested in and interested in taking a longer look at. So, yeah, when it came down to it, our intrigue with Pat White, his ability to run and be versatile and do other things, made him a player that was able to stick. And unfortunately for Ja'Cory, it shortened his stay here in Edmonton.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Eskimos, joins us. Ed, last year you had Harris around as four quarterbacks. Is that the plan this year? Do you think you'll only keep three?
No, I think what we're going to do, we're going to put the best roster we can out here, and we're also going to develop. We're going to develop quarterbacks, and we're going to develop Canadians in our imports. So however the roster shakes out over the weekend, we'll unveil that this weekend. But, I mean, as far as four quarterbacks, three quarterbacks, we're a club that's always looking to develop, if you can read between the lines.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I definitely understand what you're saying. The added three spots in the practice roster, Ed, how big of an advantage do you think that's going to be for your team?
I think it's huge for the league, but for us in particular. I mean, we get a chance to, again, we're talking about developing players, and you may have that player that's on the bubble that possibly could be on the roster at any time, but because of the limitations of the practice roster in years past, you may have ended up losing that player or having to put him somewhere else. But the extended practice roster gives us a couple more players to work with. And again, the season is long. It's demanding on the body. Injuries happen, and to have those players here in-house can only add to the product on the field and strengthen our depth of our overall roster.
Speaking of depth, you brought in a lot of defensive linemen the last week. You know, we saw Harris, who had only, I think, had one practice, came in and looked decent. Talk about your defensive line, Ed, and will the expanded roster spots mean maybe an extra defensive lineman for rotation purposes?
Again, that's a question for how the coach chooses to use the roster once we set it. But when we talk about the defensive line, I mean, there's two ways to win games. You got to win the battle of the trenches on both sides of the ball. And what we want to protect the quarterback. We want to be able to run the football on the offensive side. You know, on the defensive side, we want to be big, physical, aggressive. We want to be able to stop the run. We want to get to the quarterback, and we want to be able to have the depth in that position because, quite frankly, defensive ends are very hard to find, and when guys go down, you always find your starters go down, I should say, there's always a drop in the level of play, and we want to make certain that we have guys here and have a good look of guys before we set our roster and to have that specialty to get to the quarterback. So the depth of our defensive line is something that we came into camp wanting to look at and to challenge our current guys, but also have an opportunity to put guys on our practice roster as well as seeing what guys can do as possibly making the roster.
And as a receiver, when you played, you look at the size of the defensive backs you have in camp right now, and defensive backs are much bigger than when you played. What's the biggest, and receivers are still big, 6'3", 6'4". What is the biggest challenge that the receivers will have going up against a bigger DB? Is it, I guess maybe in jump balls? Is it jamming a guy off the line? What's the bigger challenge when you face a bigger DB?
Well, first with our guys, it's going to be getting off the line of scrimmage. We want to disrupt the passing, the play for guys. We want to be physical. We want guys that are going to be able to come up and make tackles. Also, when it comes to throwing the ball, it's much tougher for quarterbacks to throw around bigger defensive backs. The windows are smaller. And, again, we want to also be able to just make plays. When the ball is thrown high or anything, we have the length that is necessary to hopefully knock down plays and get the guys off the field and get our offense on the field. So, as mentioned, a couple years ago when we took over here is that, or a year ago, I should say, was getting bigger, becoming a more physical football team, a team that gets after people, that attacks. And you have to, you're going to have balls thrown on you and they're going to be completed, but you have to have guys in the back end that only can tackle, but are, big enough to make plays and physical enough to make people realize that they're back there. So that's what we wanted, and that's what we shifted to.
Ed Hervey, general manager of the Eskimos, joins us. Ed, with the new expanded roster to 44, does it mean there's 48 on the active roster and there's still four healthy scratches, or is there a 46-man roster with just two healthy scratches?
No, it's still a 46. Okay. You get 44 on the roster and two reserves, so they won't change anything there.
Okay, so it's still the active roster stays the same as far as 46. Do you foresee, though, like if you were a betting man, is there one position that naturally you think, okay, we were short at for the majority of the last 4 or 5 years, most games we felt maybe we were a little bit in trouble, so we're likely want to put a position guy there as one of those extra two active roster spots?
I think when it comes down to that, that's based on the depth of your Canadian talent and how you choose to utilize those positions. And it would make the determination where every coach will be different. To answer, basically I wouldn't be able to answer that question for any team and not even for ours because we're still in the evaluation process.
What's the latest update on Nate Kuhorn?
Nate was out there practicing today. He had, today was non-contact practice with the, he had a little contact practice today, but we followed the concussion protocol. He had concussion-like symptoms last week, and as we try to follow that to a T here, and we don't want to put anyone in jeopardy, so we've handled it. Our doctors did a really good job, and training staff did an excellent job in the handling of Nate Kuhorn. And we expect that he'll be ready to go whenever called upon.
And not naming veterans or starters, were there any guys on Friday night who you felt had really strong games and have pushed themselves maybe more into the conversation to make this team?
I think there was guys that did well, didn't have great games all throughout. I think there's guys who have shown some improvement that we'd like to see that improvement carry over into this week. And I think there's guys who normally play well that had an off night that we would like to see a bit more from this week. But all in all, the guys who survived the first round of cuts showed our entire staff that they were worthy of coming back, you know, getting another opportunity, and we'll see what guys are able to do this week and how hard they, the effort that they play with, and go out there and make plays. You know, don't go out there, you know, tight, and don't go out there worried. Just go out there free, with a free mind, and make plays. And, you know, I got to commend the coaching staff on, you know, the way the players played. I mean, they played with confidence. I mean, everyone knew where they were supposed to be and line up for the most part. And then some guys got out there and, you know, you get stage fright, but that's part of the preseason. That's part of the evaluation process. But all in all, I do like the effort of what the team played with, and looking forward to seeing what they do this week against the Riders.
Do you sit in on the meetings for the final cuts with head coach Chris Jones, or does he come to you afterwards and say, collectively, this is who our group feels we're going to keep and who we're going to cut?
We have a process here that works. There's input, but ultimately, as I've mentioned before, you know, Coach Jones, myself, we sit down and we talk, and it's all the input that comes from personnel side, from my end, and the coaching staff from his end, and then what we see and then what we feel, and we make the determination, you know, to put the best roster together. This is our, you know, our first time working together with this, and it's been really smooth, and we feel like we're very confident that we're going to put the best roster we can on the field for 2014, and we're really anxious to get this season started.
Usually, Ed, the first preseason game, especially if you're the road team, they don't play their starters very much. You know, the home team, like, you know, we saw more of Mike Riley. Do you get a better evaluation in that second preseason game usually because, you know, most teams are playing their starters at least close to a half? So if you have a guy who's a bubble guy, you might want to get him in early to see him against proven CFL players rather than against the backups?
You know, every team is different how they choose to play the special the preseason, but again, everyone's out there to compete, and you get a better gauge sometimes when someone's facing the number one offense or number one defense. Yes, but we try to judge and evaluate our players based on what they do, where they line up correctly, the effort in which they play with, making plays, those things, and try to be fair with them. And if they happen to go up against the other team's number one starting unit, then so be it. You know, they're the bigger challenge for them. But, you know, we try to just evaluate each player fairly and give them the best evaluation we can in order to put a football team together.
How did Matt Nichols look for a guy who really hasn't played football in 2 years, Ed?
Matt's steadily improving. I think he's had an opportunity to shake off some rust. I would imagine that going out there for the first time, live action, was probably a little different for him, but as the game went by, he made, you know, good decisions, got rid of the ball when he needed to. He made some strong throws. I think, you know, with Matt, we know what he's capable of doing. And again, when you're coming off of an injury and really, it's been almost like a year and a half since he's really had a chance to really do anything in live action. So, you know, it's a process there. But I think all in all, he looked about as good as he could at this point, and it was good enough for us, and we believe that he's only going to get better.
Ed Hervey, general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us. Ed, overall, you know, you mentioned you felt like the coaching staff, and it's going to be a process change. How hard is it, do you think, to get the culture back to what you remember when you played as a player in Edmonton, and more importantly, to, you know, getting a winning atmosphere? I know Coach Jones talked about he really wanted to win the game because he feels like it's important to get that in, and your guys were right in the game, and then unfortunately, you know, a late field goal cost you the game on a turnover. How much time does it take, do you think, to get rid of a losing attitude and bring in a winning culture?
Well, I don't think there's any losing attitude from, you know, myself and our coaching staff, and I don't think our players have a loser's attitude. I think what they have to do is go out there and continue to work hard, play with effort, and believe in the system, believe in one another, and go out there and lay it on the line. I think that, you know, those guys, the players who were here last year, They have, I'm certain they have a chip on their shoulder, and they're looking to go out there and prove something. And the players that will make our football team will join them as we move forward. I mean, we're not dwelling on what happened in the past, and I think all in all, we share extreme optimism in our locker room and in our organization, and we're ready for the challenge of 2014. And we're going to compete. We're going to play hard. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to get after people. And above everything else, we're going to be well coached. So we're looking forward to the challenge of this year, and can't wait to the game starts.
Lastly, Ed, now that the new CBA is in place and all that stuff's behind the team and everything, you look forward, you move ahead, the salary cap, you know what it's going to be for the next few years. Are you like a 3-year window plan type of guy in football? Does it change drastically in 1 year? What's kind of your goal now that you know the new CBA there, what the money is you're going to work with and such, and it comes to which free agents you'll sign and such? Is it a 3-year plan, a 2-year plan? What's kind of the big picture plan for Ed Hervey and the Eskimos?
The plan is to continue building and improving this roster. When we're looking down the road, all the thing we're trying to do is make sure that the players that we have here are good enough to help us win. And we're always continuing to look for guys that can improve our roster. When we talk about our veterans here or players that are on our roster that could be or maybe heading into free agency, I always have a priority list and, very thorough in how I handle contracts and how I handle the approach in which we'll take with our free agents or potential free agents. I think our players enjoy it here. I think our organization is heading in the right direction, and I know our players believe that. When it comes down to it, I'm going to do everything I can to strengthen this roster and strengthen it with guys who are going to give hard work and effort, that are going to have character, and that are going to have that attitude that they're going to leave it on the field for 60 minutes, and those players know that if they give everything they have, that they will be rewarded. So I'm going to select it by that, and hopefully in the future strengthen our Canadian content in the process and then build a winner here, and that's the objective.
And one last one for you, Ed. As a big fan of basketball, the San Antonio Spurs. I know you're a big Laker fan, but you got to marvel at that team and Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan and just how they go about their business and consistently win games, whether it's regular season or the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you do. The beauty of that team and that organization is they have an understanding of what they are, who they are, and how they want to play. And they believe in team-first concept. And they believe that anyone who comes into their organization must buy into what they're doing. And that is, again, with hard work and with effort, and also understanding that you cannot be selfish in when you're on the court. And those teams generally win, and those organizations are always successful. I've always had respect for the San Antonio Spurs. Yes, I'm a big Lakers fan, and I will always be that. But you can't help but respect what the San Antonio Spurs have done over the last 15 years or so with their culture. And finally, people are appreciating team over the individual in basketball. And that's one thing I can definitely say that is important as professional sports starts moving into the next 15, 20 years.
Ed, always good to talk to you. Enjoy the week.
Thank you.